In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we have the golden rule before us. It's not a well-understood rule. Most people don't get it. I'll tell you some of the mistakes people make and some of the approximate truths that they understand about it. Then I'll tell you the spiritual meaning of the rule. The Lord mentions it, but he doesn't mention it exactly. He kind of waits to the end, and we are supposed to spiritually discern spiritual things and understand it. So the golden rule, of course, is that as you would have men do to you, you do to them. Now, people interpret that as, if I'm nice to you, you're nice to me. So if I'm nice to you, you should be nice to me. You're required to be nice to me because that's the rule. And we're pretty happy with that with our children if they can at least learn that, right? If you have two children, then it's really nice if they can at least be fair with each other. That, you know, you give me a toy, I'll give you a toy. Of course, when they're very young, they think all the toys belong to them. And then when you have two or more children, then there's lots of conflict. As they get a little older, then they understand fairness. That you get a toy, I get a toy. But that's not the golden rule. I mean, certainly a child would think, I want a toy, so if I want a toy and they want a toy, if I give them, they should give me. That's a very rudimentary understanding of the rule. Now, it's a decent gauge for a spiritual person to use. If there's something that you desire, then you should surmise that a person should also desire. I'm not talking about material things or any other such things. I'm talking about spiritual things. That just as you know you need the love of God and forgiveness, you know everyone else does too. As you need kindness, so does everyone else. So it's a useful barometer, but it's not the perfect barometer. It's not the perfect measure of what you should do and how you should act. The golden rule is to act like God. Now, he says a few things in between. I'll probably skip over them more or less. You know, the idea of if you love those who love you, what thank do you have? Even sinners do that. You do good to those who do good to you. What good is that to you? Sinners do that. And then he says, lend to those of whom you have no hope to receive. Nothing fair about that. There's no fairness there. You lend to them not hoping to receive back again? Most people have the idea you lend to people that will give back to you. You give to people that will give to you. You're nice to people that are nice to you. Or maybe you're nice to people for them to be nice to you. Sort of almost a pagan-like idea of rule of attraction. But he says, lend to them that you have no hope to receive from. And love your enemies. Well, most of your enemies are not going to love you back. So that's not the understanding of the golden rule, the rudimentary understanding. Because you're doing good to those, and they're not doing good to you. So let us see what the spiritual energy of the golden rule is. This is really quite exciting. To be able to learn to do this is to become perfected. That's the whole purpose of life, isn't it? I keep telling you that. I'm sure you could answer it if it were like on a flashcard or something. What is the purpose of life? Well, Father Seraphim says to become perfected. But do you not know what it means? Do you know what it feels like? I don't know yet. I know a little bit. And the little bit I've had, the little preview, shall we say, I've had of it, makes me want more. So here is the spiritual basis of the golden rule. The Lord first states it as ye would that men do unto you, do ye also unto them. But then he states it in a more perfect way. He says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. That is the spiritual basis of the golden rule. Because we are to be imitators of God. We are to live as God lives. We are to love as He loves. We are to be compassionate as He is compassionate. So that is the basis of the golden rule. For the simple, for the children, including perhaps 90-year-old children who have not learned yet to think in a spiritual way, at least the beginning is, as you would want people to do to you, then you do. And perhaps with expectation of reward. And then a little higher, as you would have people do unto you, you do, but don't expect any reward. But the highest is, as God does, you do. That's a high spiritual level. Very few of us have reached it or will reach it. Perhaps there's occasions when we are able to act in this perfect way. This is what we are sure to aspire to act as God acts. God gives love to us without requiring return. God is kind without requiring us to be kind. God is merciful without requiring for us to be merciful. But if we do not learn to be merciful, then we don't know God at all. You can't know someone that you're not like. So the golden rule is to become like God. That's the essence of it. Not just to be fair, not just to be able to have quid pro quo with people. The world thinks that's the way it is. It is to be like God, to be merciful as your Father is merciful. This should energize everything that you do. And the other great truth behind being merciful is your identity as to who you are. Do you know who you are? Most people don't, by the way. Most people don't have a good understanding of who they are, of their identity. Here is the identity that all Christians must have in exclusion to any other identity. That is, ye shall be children of the highest. We are children of the highest. That is our identity. And as children of the highest, this is the sole motivation which should cause us to do good, to be kind to the unthankful and the evil, to lend to those who do not, we don't expect to lend in return, to be merciful to our enemies, to pray for our enemies. All of the things that a Christian does should be motivated by his identity as a child of the highest. I was always impressed by the life of St. Peter the Aleut. When he was martyred, his only answer to those that were martyring him was, "I am an Orthodox Christian." He cut off his fingers, and all he said was, "I am an Orthodox Christian." So that should be your identity. Now be careful to look at things spiritually. In the world, there are many identities. We see that happening every moment now. People identify themselves with a political ideology. They identify themselves by their sexuality. That's very bizarre. There's nothing permanent about sexuality in the heavens. In heaven, we'll be like the angels. No one will be given in marriage. Why identify yourself with something that is impermanent? And of course, also, why identify yourself with something that is sinful? People identify themselves in all different ways. The only identity that matters, the only identity that is permanent, that is eternal, is to be a child of the highest. And that should motivate all of your conduct. Now, when you're a little child, we tell our children, you know, you have to do this or do that because that's the right way to act, and perhaps they get punished if they don't do it, and they learn that your you give to your brother because your brother, you want your brother to give to you. That's good for children. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is that if you're both starving, but you're more healthy than the other, you give them all of your ration, not some of it. You don't break it in half and say, well, half for you, half for me. You say, because of compassion, you give all to the one who needs it more. That's an act of God. That's to be like God. This is the way of life, brothers and sisters. The other gospel has a statement that is much like this idea of being children of the light. It's the gospel where we read because we're commemorating the wonder workers of Moscow, metropolitans of Moscow. And in it, it says, the Lord is speaking to his disciples. He says, ye are the light of the world. Well, why are we the light of the world? Because God is light and God abides within us and we are children of God. And therefore, if we're children of God, we should act like God and there should be light from us. This is not a command to do something that is externally imposed. You're a soldier, so therefore I tell you to do this and do that. This is an inner condition. God abides in you. God is light. And therefore, you are light. You are a child of God. Therefore, you have the compassion of God. And grow in the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. And all of your conduct is based upon that. Sometimes as a priest, I struggle with this sort of tension. And I've sort of alluded to it in a dark way. We're talking about the golden rule for children and the golden rule for the perfect. It's a different rule. And the problem is that I want to tell you how to be perfect. That's what I want to do, is be perfect. I hope you do too. I'm not really interested in things for children. I want to know the things for those that they can eat meat and not just milk. But the problem is that many people, no matter what their age is, they think like children. They don't think in a spiritual way. And therefore, sometimes I'm concerned that the things that I'm telling you are too advanced for some of you. This is why I beg all of you to read the gospel with prayer, because it's all there. And spiritual things are there. And you will learn to think spiritually, to live spiritually, to discern everything spiritually. And I would have to say that for the most part, and this might be a tactical error on my part, I lean towards telling you about the things to be perfect, not about the beginning things. Because the whole point of our life is perfection. When you go through kindergarten and first grade, you learn your letters and you learn to recognize small words, and then you learn to read words, and you don't have to go over your letters when you get past those grades. Sometimes I think that in some preaching, it's always going back over the letters. So I'm telling you something that is divine and holy and high. And I want you to appreciate it. Your calling is to be perfect as a child of God, as a child of the light. And that should influence all of your conduct, everything you do, everything you think, all of your priorities, all of your attitudes, everything. And if you live with this firm conviction, this firm knowledge that you are a child of the light and that you are a child of the highest, then the golden rule will not be something that is this external idea. It will be just the way you live. And you will be blessed and holy. And God will fill you. And you will have knowledge that you can't even imagine even exists. And joy that you cannot even contemplate. Because God will fill you with things that you cannot comprehend right now. Because you are a child of His. But you have to live as a child of His. I'm not so sure about the people that say they believe in God but don't really live in a godly way. I'm not talking about whether or not they do some of these big sins that we think about. I'm talking about, do they order their life as a child of the highest? Are they merciful to others because our God is merciful? Not because it's the fair thing to do or the right thing to do at the time. May God help you to be firmly convinced. That's not even the right word, because there should be no convincing. It should be as real to you as breathing air that you are a child of the highest. May God help you to have that kind of understanding, and may it permeate everything you do. And you will have great happiness. God bless you and help you in all things.